Okay, so if you're heading to the movie theaters this weekend, here are some options. You can delve deep into sibling relationships, experience the fortitude of the human spirit, or imagine what it's like to be trapped in your body, fully conscious as someone operates on your heart. Can't say I didn't give you diversity,
Hey, I was
everybody.
married for 5 years. I know all about that. Thanks. I'll be here all night.
Daniel Holloway is a movie critic for the daily newspaper Metro. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing okay. So, The Savages, written and directed by Tamara Jenkins. Tamara? Tamara? What are the.
Tamara? I'm not sure. I saw her the other night. It's Tamara, Tamara.
Oh, let's call the whole thing off. I love Slums of Beverly Hills. That was sort of her
Yes.
last big movie that she
It's
made.
Natasha Lyonne's last big movie, too.
Yeah, that's just a whole other sad
Unfortunate.
story. But this film, two great stars. I don't think they'll have any of the issues that Natasha Lyonne has. Tell us who's in it and what's their relationship in the film.
Two of the best actors working in film today, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Laura Linney. They play older brother, younger sister. Laura Linney is sort of the lead, but they both get about equal screen time. The movie is about them going. They're both kind of. They're both NPR listeners, actually, which is pointed out in the movie, and I'll get to that in a second. But they're kind of, very educated, very well-read people who are completely estranged from their father. Their father wakes up one day, takes some of his own feces, and writes a word on the bathroom mirror at the home he lives in Arizona. So his kids, who haven't seen him in years, have to come collect him and put him in a nursing home in Buffalo, New York.
Ah, let's take a listen to a little bit of the clip from the film.
I need you to spend Thanksgiving with Dad.
We're not doing it together?
It's the only time I can get away for research.
Well, I have things to do too.
Like what?
Like my life, for instance, in New York City.
Well, maybe it's time to stop being so self-involved and think about someone else's life for a change.
Yeah, like he who can't put his book aside for a minute while Dad dies.
I've got to get this thing finished, Wendy. My editor thinks it's a good time for it.
Yeah, I've heard everyone's really itching for a book about Bertolt Brecht this holiday season.
Okay,
Does he mean he has to finish that ham hock
I
that he's
know, whatever they're eating in this
the hell
film?
Is in their mouth?
So, it sounds like a sort of a sad premise, but that's really funny, pithy dialogue. Are there laughs in this
There are
movie?
laughs in this movie. They come from Hoffman and Lenny, and unfortunately, the name of the actor who plays the father just escaped me, but he's wonderful in
I'm
it.
going to look it up right now.
We're going to
Look,
IMDb it.
We're going to
Philip
use the Google.
Bosco.
Philip Bosco.
There you go.
Yes, and
you
he's fantastic in this movie. He's starting to be gripped by dementia. So some of the laughs, but most of the laughs aren't coming from that, which is good. They're not picking on the character for
Sure.
being crazy. But it's basically the sibling dynamic between Hoffman's character and Lenny's character, and the laughs mainly come from that. He does things like grab paperwork out of doctor's hands before she can reach for it, and she is constantly seeking attention. She lies to him about getting a Guggenheim to go work on her play, and these things are kind of funny in their own sort of Bobo way.
We actually have a clip about the Guggenheim incident. Let's play that.
A friend of mine does some consulting for the Guggenheim Foundation. He looked your name up in the computer. You've been rejected 8 times.
So? How many times have you been rejected?
That's not the point. 6.
Yeah.
Is it a small, talky indie film?
Yeah, it is a small, talky indie film. And it's a pretty good one. The stuff like the Brecht references and the NPR references.
What do they say about NPR besides the fact that the Bryant Park Project is awesome?
They don't. The mistake is that they don't refer to the Bryant Park Project. They refer to All Things Considered.
That old chestnut.
It's a lovely chestnut. But they actually have. It's a weird reference in the sense that the one character in the entire movie who shouldn't be listening to All Things Considered is the guy they show listening to All Things Considered, who is the married neighbor, the schlubby married neighbor that Laura Linney is fooling around with.
Our next film, I think it's interesting because the film's subject is quite fascinating, and then the way it got made is really fascinating. The Diving Bell and Butterfly. Now, the film is in French, right? But Julian Schnabel didn't speak French when he originally decided to tackle the subject matter, right?
Right. The film is in French, and that is a bold move on his part. Schnabel is a fine artist who has directed only 2 films. They've both been about artists, Basquiat and goodness, Before Night Falls. Before Night Falls was about a writer. Basquiat mm-hmm. was about the artist Basquiat. This is also about a writer. It's the French, is the editor of French Elle magazine, mm-hmm. Jean.
I can't pronounce because I don't speak French.
They call him Jean Doe in the movie.
Jean-Dominique?
Jean-Dominique Bobby. Yes. And he was the editor of French Elle magazine, who one day suffers a horrible stroke and wakes up with locked-in syndrome, meaning he can't move anything except for one of his eyeballs and both of his eyelids. They eventually sew the bad eyelid shut, mm-hmm. and he writes a book about his experience living with this syndrome through his eyelid, using a system of blinks to signal to an assistant working with him each letter of the book, and he dies 10 days after the book is published.
Extraordinary premise, right? Let's take a quick listen to a clip from the film.
E-S-A-R-I-N-T-U-L.
So this is someone writing down all the letters as he is blinking them out to her.
She's reading the alphabet to him, and he blinks when he wants her to stop. And she's reading an alphabet that was specially arranged so that the first letter she says, it doesn't go A, B, C, D, E. It goes, I believe the first letter's E, because that's the most used letter in the alphabet.
It just sounds like it's a really poignant film.
I can't write
film.
A book, like, just, you know,
with fingers.
With the full
fingers.
Use of it. I can't even imagine. I'm sorry, Ali, you were saying.
No, I just wonder, you know, is this a movie that you leave feeling good and feeling elated afterwards, or is it depressing? Or
the genius of this film is that Schnabel realizes it's adapted from the book that Jean Doe wrote. The genius of the film is that Schnabel realizes that there's a lot of pain in it, but there's also a lot of redemption in this extraordinary act of art. And Schnabel doesn't try to oversell you on that in any way. The other genius thing is that he shoots the first half of the movie from the perspective of Jean Doe. So he's actually got actors leaning over the camera and talking to it.
Oh, so it's like his eye looking out, projecting out.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And and that stops about halfway through the film when Jean Doe kind of declares to himself in his own internal monologue, I've decided to stop pitying myself. At that point, the camera comes out. You start seeing him interacting as best he can, but still having an enormous effect on the people around him with the other actors. And it's an extraordinary movie.
I'm going to take one more minute to talk about the last
film. I need to hear about this.
Okay, this movie, Awake, we did a whole segment about it with an anesthesiologist. It's about a man who's on the operating table. He has anesthetic awareness. He knows they're cutting into him, but he can't say anything because he is paralyzed. You didn't get to see the movie, though.
No.
As a reviewer.
I wasn't allowed.
Why not?
I'm assuming because, you know, you have to assume it's because it's really bad. Generally, movies, you know, Resident Evil, you know, Crazy Town or whatever the last one was, wasn't a screen for
Won't
critics.
You take me to Crazy Town?
Yeah, I will after we're done here. but yeah, you have to assume it's bad. The movie is about Darth Vader is like Donald Trump, like in a 28-year-old
Meaning it's Hayden
package.
Christensen is the lead.
Hayden Christensen is the lead. Apparently he's a really rich guy and they cut him open and he doesn't go to sleep and Terrence Howard is talking about killing him. But all of this is gleaned from a 2-minute preview.
All right, we're going to play a clip. We actually talked to an anesthesiologist who saw the movie and gave his review. Let's play it. Oh, do you guys still have it? And they're looking
for it. The film comes off superbly. It's a magnet. I mean, you know, I looked around the premiere and everyone was riveted in their seats. Even the four or five of us doctors I knew who were there were riveted by the film. So we didn't mind the technical, if you will, errors. It was a great film. You know, it would get a 4-star and a 0-5 rating at least.
What do you think, reviewer?
That's enough for me. I'm giving it a 4-star and a 0-5 rating.
Like, an anesthesiologist is like, they finally made a movie about this.
What I do. Daniel Holloway is movie critic for Metro, a daily newspaper that you read on your way to work and other places as well. Daniel, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks.